This is Nash Radio Dead Air. I am speaking with Michael Doran of long, long Star Trek fame. Mr. Doran, thank you for giving us a few minutes today.
My pleasure.
All right, I'm going to try. I know you've got fans waiting, so I'm going to try to get through this quickly. Why did you decide acting? What brought you to that?
I hope the story is interesting as well as long, but I started as a director, and I was doing production assisting on the old Mary Tyler Moore show, and along with that, they had me do stand-in work and, you know, just kind of work around the set, and they kept pushing me in front of the camera. They said, you really got to do this. You know, you have a certain quality, and I was like going, I don't want to do acting. Come on, you know. And so they said, well, look, you know, to be a director, it'll take you quite some time, you know, 4 or 5 years. Why don't you do this? Do some commercials, and you make some money, and then you can direct. And once I started doing commercials, things just kind of took off. I got a bunch of national commercials, really started working at it, and then I got an agent, and then immediately after getting an agent, I started to work like crazy. And I always said that I'll do this for a while, and then I'll go into directing. And that's how it happened.
And a while, just kept going and going.
Kept going. I hate to say this because it sounds so, you know, egotistical, but I kept getting great jobs. And so that's a way to start directing, so that's what I did. But that's how it happened. But I didn't go to school for directing, but once I realized that this was going to happen, I went back to school and studied acting and then came out again.
Okay. And speaking of great jobs, you got into Trek. When you started that, how much did you know about the series in general?
I was a big fan of the show. When it first came out, we were old enough. My brother and I watched it, and we thought it was very cool. And then when I was in college, it became, I mean, there were reruns. And that's when reruns really started.
Yeah.
And Trek was on probably 4 times a day. And we just knew it. I mean, we had a game where whoever could name that episode in the shortest amount of time took a shot of tequila. So it was a drinking game. So,
well, you got in for Worf. All these years later, most of the basis of the fandom that follows Klingons, how does it feel to be your character, your portrayal, has been responsible for that base of the fandom?
You know, I didn't realize how important it was until a friend of mine, he and I were playing tennis, and Bob Pine, and I was complaining about the business. I forgot what it was. I think I was off the show at that point, you know, it was over. I was complaining. He goes, look, Michael, you know, you got to realize something, you know, you created a character that is sort of an icon, you know, in this world. And it just kind of hit me right then that it was something, you know. But it still is amazing that he still is, you know, this sort of Klingon guy. And the big thing for me is when I think it realized that it was meant something was they came out with the Ultimate Klingon DVD series, and they had my picture on the cover. So that meant, yes, I have arrived.
Now, in terms of acting, this it's unusual to play a character. What was it, 10 or 11 years total?
11 years.
11 years. How is it to play a character so consistent? Because that's more than even anyone on Next Generation has played. You've played probably one of the longs. What's it like to work with a character for that long?
Well, that's the one thing I like about television is that the character grows. And I don't have that complaint that my character stagnated. I mean, he grew every year. I mean, at first it was just a little thing with the makeup where we did a little bit different makeup every year. And then the writers kind of latched on to the character, and they found a wealth of stories.
Yeah.
And so he just started, and that's what I love about television. You can really work with the character over the years and change and develop. And even on Deep Space, when I went to Deep Space, it was one of my main concerns, and one of the things that I wanted to let them know is that I wanted the character to grow. I wanted him to grow even more than what he had been on Next Generation.
One of the good things about Deep Space was the arc.
Yeah.
They allowed you to develop a lot.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, from an acting standpoint, when you're playing a character, you've got something to draw on, real-life experience, but Trek, you're an alien. How did you develop the mindset of someone who's got no basis in anything that you could just go out and experience?
Well, it was two things. It was sort of an old acting trick that I used, and also Gene Roddenberry gave me the freedom to do whatever I wanted to do. He just said, make the character my own, whatever it is. And so that was really good. And what happened was that I was watching the other characters while they were acting, because I had been hired last, and they didn't even know who I was. And so I was kind of secretly there watching. And they were all like these really great guys and all these really great people and laughing and let's go out in space and isn't this great and wonderful. And I always wanted to play the opposite, because that's what I did for my whole career with these great guys. So I wanted to do the opposite. So that's how Worf came about, is I made him the opposite of what they were. Antisocial, you know, kind of gruff and surly, very nationalistic, and that's how the character developed.
Now, on a personal note, notice you're involved in flying.
Yes.
How'd you get all involved? And you've worked with the Blue Angels, I'm told. Am I correct on that?
Yeah, I was because of Star Trek and the connection to the military, and they realized that I had flown or that I was a pilot. I started getting invited to a lot of different air shows, a lot of different Navy, Air Force bases to talk to the troops and kind of make appearances. And out of that came flights in crazy stuff, you know. The Blue Angels, the Thunderbirds. I went in F-16s. I have about 10 hours in F-16s.
You also own your own jets.
Yeah. And that's how it came about. It's been a really exciting thing. But and I was sort of like a Navy mascot for about 5 years. They'd always call me and come down and hang out with the fighter pilots, you know, and, oh, we can come down into the air show and we'll put you up. And, you know, it's been great.
That must be a fantastic feeling.
Great. Especially for somebody that loves aviation as much as I do. I mean, I was one of those kids that went to the airport and was just like, oh, my God, look at an airplane. So, you know.
And then you grow up, you're flying with the Blue Angels. I must.
Well, can you tell us what you have coming up that we can keep an eye out for?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Not a thing. It's been a pretty slow year. I did Without a Trace last year. But this year has been basically devoted to writing and directing. And so we're just trying to get our projects off the ground, which is tougher than anything.
Mr. Doran, thank you for giving us some time today. This is Nash with Radio Dead Air. I've been speaking with Michael Doran at DragonCon.